That's not even the best part, folks. Check out this awesome lightsaber. It's a lightsaber with too many lightsabers on it. It's a menage a sabre.
Howdy, everyone. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report Podcast. This is episode 155. I'm so glad that you've decided to join us. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. I'm Riley Blanton, your host for this evening. Very excited about tonight's show. We got a lot going on. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about it. It's that time of year, folks. And no, I don't mean Christmas. I mean the time for the release of the most recent Star Wars trailer. But before I bring in all of my other fine... before I continue into the show, I should say, I should bring in my fellow fine contributors and fellow co-hosts here at the Star Wars Report Podcast. Let's start with my sister, Bethany Blanton. Welcome to the program.
Hey, hey, glad to be back as usual. Do you know what I just finished doing as you were introducing me?
Watching the trailer for the 17th time.
No, but I was doing that a little bit. I was doing that a little bit ago. I just sent 60 emails to our fellow biology classmates,
telling them to watch the trailer the 17th time. Right?
That was tempting, but no. Our professor gave us extra credit if we all did this particular survey together. So here's hoping for extra credit.
Exactly. Well, we'll see if we get it. But more to the point, as they said in the Simpsons episode, come on, talk about Star Wars. And that's what we're here to do about tonight, folks. This is your 1 hour of escape into that galaxy far, far away. And here to help us do it as well is my good friend in the Force. It's Mark Herleman.
Man, it's going good. I hung a curtain up. My studio is warm. Like, it's so interesting. I did not realize that by throwing the curtain up, it would make this much of a difference, but I'm actually about to throw the jacket off. I'm like, yes, finally, I'm not going to be freezing and chattering by the 30 minutes in point.
Oh, wow. That's good. It is that time of year. Not only just the time of trailers, but the time of Hoth-like weather. Although, not really here in Georgia. We had like one token cold week at the end of November, and then it went like right back to 65 and 70 degrees. It refuses to be winter here in the great state of Georgia, which is all right with me. It's all right with me. But what we're here to talk about today is really the fallout from the trailer last week. Because if you're listening to this episode 155, and you have not listened to episode 154, and I know there are a number of you who just kind of tuned into the most recent one, make sure you go back. Usually I don't say this. I hate people who are like really OCD about, no, I must listen to all the podcast episodes in order. Like, ours is kind of a contemporary, we talk about what's going on in the fan community while it's happening. So it's not like you have to, this is not a Netflix series. You don't have to listen to the previous episode to catch up and understand the current episode. Unless you're listening to this episode, in which case I'm saying, listen to the previous episode to catch up to this episode. Because episode 154 was an all-star cast of reactions to the episode 7 trailer. And boy, howdy, did we have a humdinger of a show.
Previously on Star Wars Report.
Exactly. The Star Wars fans were created by George Lucas, and they have a mission, and they have a plan. A plan. Already getting my franchises mixed up. But no, last week's show was amazing. You were out of town for Thanksgiving, Bethany. So I was,
yes.
I was holed up by myself here in the proverbial Star Wars Report studios. Just went to the morning showing of Big Hero 6 with some good friends. Again, we chronicled this on the last episode, so I won't revisit it too much. Other than to say that there I was just literally, I got home and just started calling people that I know. It's like I just started calling my Star Wars friends, and that was the podcast. But it's, I mean, it was one of the most fun podcasts we've ever done, and also a very popular one as well. So that's pretty awesome. Make sure that you check that one out, episode 154. But enough about that one. We're here to talk about the fallout the apocalyptic reaction that the internet happened. If certain other celebrities thought they could break the internet this past season, they did not.
Indeed.
But Star Wars did. So there you go.
Oh, the Force Awakens. And you broke it good.
I will leave that reference where it sits. But here we're going to talk about tonight. John Boyega's in the news, and it turns out they're black stormtroopers, and that's an interesting bent. There's one aspect of the trailer that we didn't in the 2-hour show that we did last time. There is one aspect of the trailer that we did not cover it, and that's what we're going to talk about here, and that's a linguistic approach to the Star Wars Episode 7 teaser trailer. We are going to get into possible spoiler territory as we talk about Andy Serkis's voiceover, specifically what our writer Joseph Tavano did, an amazing breakdown of really examining the possibilities of, here it is, whether or not the Wills may be involved in Episode 7. That would be interesting. We'll explain
Wills
how and
is
why.
W-H-I-L-L.
Wills. Would you like some cool whip? That kind of Wills.
Yes.
As in Will Wheaton. As in that kind of
Hey, that was good.
And of course, John Way, as I said, and then of course Luke Skywalker is lightsaber. It is in the trailer, so we've got all that, your emails, and so much more on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Without further ado, let's jump straight into the news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
Straight from the fantastic fan site StarWarsReport.com, never heard of it, is a linguistic approach to the Star Wars teaser trailer. This is kind of going to be our breakdown. But before I jump into really breaking apart the dialogue of this trailer in the fallout since it debuted last week as we record this. So Bethany, where were you when you saw the trailer? This is the question I've asked Steve Glosson. This is the question that I asked Amy Ratcliffe. that I asked Bobby Roberts, that I asked Mark Herleman, Aaron Goins, and not to forget Mark Newbold, all in the same episode, but I have not asked you under what circumstances and what was your impression of seeing the Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens trailer for the first time.
I was in a kitchen in Kentucky.
Just
I
don't
see a song here.
Stop.
I was just in a kitchen in Kentucky when the Force was awakened. It was mucky.
One of the most disappointing things that happened was I kept hearing people who said, "I first saw it on my phone." Mark, I think you're one of these people too, right?
I was one of those. But see, I'm curious, Bethany, did you believe that it was legitimately it? Like, Riley was in a theater, so there was nobody pulling wool over him, but I came on, and up until John popped up, I was like, oh, it's another fake. And then I was like, wait, no, that's the dude. That's the man right there.
So how did you see it? I'm curious.
I went into the trailer, like, as it started playing, I hopped in physically and transported myself to... No, I'm kidding. It was a laptop.
Okay, good. See, I feel better now.
Mm-hmm. But I still want to go see it in theaters, and probably after we are done with our finals, which are...
The Hobbit!
Kind of terrifying finals. No, I'm going to go see Big Hero 6, because I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's not in front of Big Hero 6 anymore, sadly. It was that kind of limited thing.
See it anyway.
But it will be in front of The Hobbit, yes.
Okay. Well, that's good, because I'm a huge Hobbit fan.
Yes, and we will be seeing it. IMAX 3D people. So you saw it in the kitchen in Kentucky. What was your first impression?
My first impression was that I did really like it. But I was actually, I knew it was going to be a teaser. I was still disappointed that there wasn't more. I wanted more. Mm. I knew it was wrong.
I knew I shouldn't.
Yeah.
I want more.
But seeing it on the small screen, I think, does have an effect, especially if you're seeing it on a phone, Mark.
Mark. Mark for shame is what we're saying.
But I'm trying to think. I guess really the thing that stood out to me was just the newness of it all. Like, we were seeing shots that are familiar, scenery that's familiar, but everything is also kind of new. The characters are new. You know, we didn't see Luke Skywalker. We didn't see Princess Leia. We didn't even see Chewie.
That's true. We didn't see R2-D2, C-3PO. No main characters at all. They were like, they're like, here, take a look, take a look at this beach ball slash soccer ball droid. But no R2-D2. Yeah. It's, I mean, and we talked about it at such great length, but the one aspect we didn't really talk about was the voiceover, other than the fact that at first I thought it was Benedict Cumberbund Flapperbatch. As we said. But in fact, it is not. It's Andy Serkis lending that voiceover. And it kind of reminded me of the trailer to the original Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring teaser trailer. You remember who gave the voiceover to that? It's Cate Blanchett as Galadriel, where she's like, the world has changed. Much that once was is now lost. And of course, that's also the first word.
I feel it in the air.
Yeah, so and that's something you hear right at the beginning
of
the film.
Have you felt it? The dark side. Yeah, so see? Similarities.
It's so similar. There are 10 words in this trailer. Well, let me make sure I counted it right. There has been an awakening. Have you felt it? The dark side and the light. All right, it's more like 14 words. the dark side and the light. That's all you hear in the entire trailer. Just those words. There's been an awakening. Have you felt it? And then the fragment, the dark side and the light. Now, you might be thinking, oh, that's kind of cool. It's kind of vague. We don't really know. No, we can parse this. And by George, and we, by the George I'm referring to, I'm talking about the Lucas variety. And by George, we will. So basically, and again, heavily referencing here, Joseph's piece over at StarWarsReport.com, which we'll leave in the show notes for this episode, episode 155. Yeah, it's one declarative sentence. One question, one fragment, 15 words. And so here's the first couple things. It's not a monologue. The narrator's talking to somebody. So whoever's speaking is talking to someone because he asks a question. It's not done in the style of a rhetorical question. It's, have you felt it?
Yeah, have you felt it? It's just not, that's not a rhetorical question at all.
Yeah. Now, again, this is kind of, if we might assume this dialogue is unedited.
Or if it's even from the movie.
Or if it's from the movie. But if it is, it basically we can kind of take away the fact that the narrator is alone. Because he did not wait for it. Obviously, there's kind of no pause for an answer to the question. It's like, have you felt it? And then he goes on to say the dark side and the light. Man, Joseph thinks that he's sending.
Imagine if it was like a Sith guy or a dark side guy talking to an army, like giving the Braveheart speech and the light, and we will stomp out the light.
Yeah. What's interesting is if there are two parties involved, if it's a communication, then it means that the narrator is talking to someone, not just to nobody, and these two beings, whatever they are, have an understanding of what is going on. He says, because you use the phrase, there's an awakening, not the awakening.
Or a awakening.
Yeah, or the Force is awakening. There's an awakening. And then he references the dark side and the light. So basically, what that, if you were, again, this is kind of very heavily speculative, but it very well, when he references the dark side and the light awakening, he's probably not a Jedi or a Sith. Because, obviously, the Sith use the dark side, Jedi use the light side. He references the dark side and the light. And, of course,
yeah,
this is
and
heavily,
as a Sith or a Jedi, you don't really feel both simultaneously.
No. I mean, a Jedi could use the dark side.
Yeah, you might be pulled to the dark side.
Yeah.
Or you might have a redemption and go back to the light side, but you don't really feel both.
But is that true, though? Because Sidious masked the dark side, clouded the Force, so the Jedi couldn't detect him doing anything, being right across the room from him. I mean, I agree that you can't do it simultaneously, but at the same time, I think that through Force perceptions, you should be able to detect a feeling, whether it be from the light or from the dark. But that is something that, that I go into that philosophical aspect of it. You know, is the awakening that the people, that the Force sensitives are feeling the Force for the first time? Or is it that the Force, both its light and dark sides, are starting to manifest itself in a way that's never been felt before?
I could see that. Well, but for me, the key, though, is the phrase when he says the dark side and the light is that...
They seem very equal.
If...
And they still seem
not an accident.
Separate.
It's not an accident that the title of this film is "The Force Awakens." And I think what he's saying by this, what this dialogue tells us,
yeah, it's not the Jedi awaken or the Sith awaken.
If
or
something awakens,
Force beings who have midichlorians awaken.
Although that'd be really that'd that be really
be
good
funny,
title.
Movie title, yeah.
Star Wars Episode 7. Bam, ba-da-dam, the Force beings who also have Force powers awaken. But basically, I don't think it's an accident at all that we're using the term "the Force awakens" in terms of the title, along with the dialogue, "the dark side and the light." Because they know when someone watches this trailer who's seen the Star Wars films, this, not even the hardcore fans, but people who see this, the people who go out to see the Hobbit next week or the week after, whenever it comes out. And they go out to see The Hobbit, and they see this a Star Wars trailer, and they haven't seen a Star Wars movie since the last one is in theaters 10 years ago. When they reference the dark side and the light side waking up together, there's that edge of mystery of the Force must have been dormant. And,
somehow.
I mean, again, from there you just have to start speculating. From there it's like, oh, well, maybe therefore Luke Skywalker didn't train a new generation, which would fit in with this kind of raw, weird-looking T-saber, as I'm going to call it, the T-shaped saber. Actually, broad saber is kind of a little bit better. The broad saber, it does not look like a traditional lightsaber, and it would fit into that narrative if someone's building a lightsaber having not built one in 30 years.
Well, in the Force, though, it was blinded and closed off in a lot of ways while Luke was kind of coming forward. You know, I mean, Vader did everything he did. The last... of them, when it was all said and done, was just Luke. And if Luke did, you know, as rumors suggest, go off into hiding or seclusion or something like that, then you wouldn't really have anybody actually practicing the Force openly. But now, if you had, for some reason, a new group that kind of found some teachings or something that went on, or, you know, maybe it's just across the board that, you know, suddenly the Force has caused people to, you know, have a resurgence in their powers, you know. Like Ezra, you know, he's a character that is having these manifestations of the Force, and it's not one side or the other.
Yeah, no, I could see that. But here's the interesting thing.
Yeah, but Ezra, he feels the dark side of the Force very distinctly when he awakens the creature and feels like the mother. I'm blanking on the creature's names, but you remember when they're trapped and the Inquisitor is coming after him and Kanan, and he wakens the mother of all of the little ferocious I Am Legend vampires, only not quite I Am Legend vampires. And, you know, it overwhelms him, and Kanan explains essentially that's the Force getting out of control.
It's like, yo, man,
and he's
the dark side.
He's edging towards the dark side. So even with Ezra, we sense kind of this.
I think the best way to kind of tie this little theory up in a bow is a quote from the Star Wars annotated screenplays from 1977, which is an amazing book. I wish I owned a copy of it. I've heard so many good things about it. In reference to the Wills, George said, "Originally I was trying to have a story told by someone else, an immortal being known as a Will. There was somebody watching this whole story and recording it, and somebody was probably wiser than the mortal players in the actual events. I eventually dropped the idea and the concepts behind the Wills and turned it into the Force, but the Wills became part of this massive amount of notes, quotes, and background information that I used for the scripts." Does this sound like the narrator? You know, a watcher from an outside perspective who understands all that is the Force, who knows exactly what's going on with an awakening. Like, if I hear someone say, well, maybe this is Revan, the bad guy is going to be Revan incarnate or something from one of the books, or maybe it's Jaden Kor, or it's going to be Bastila Shan's third grand cousin's second uncle's niece twice removed. That's the hero of episode 7. No, but if you say the Wills, something that goes originally to some of George's original concepts, especially if with the Michael Arndt script, that's what I think's the key here as an indicator of what could be a really fascinating possibility.
Well, and the Wills have always stayed neutral. So it's like, what if it was the Wills that were getting involved? What would cause that? And the only thing I could think of from a Legends in Universe type of thing was something like Kara had tried to do in KOTOR 2, where she wanted to wipe out the Force. You know, she didn't care about Side. She wanted it all gone. She thought that was the problem with the universe. And I mean, if you had something like that, like, you know, you had a faction that's trying to stamp out the Force, and in doing so, it created this backlash or something that not only to the Force, but even the Wills were like, oh man, we better step in.
Yeah, no, that would be interesting to see. Like, if post Return of the Jedi, some great event happened, you know,
yeah,
that kind of devastated. Again, I think what the greatest implication,
and here is more sort of information or I would say evidence that this could be a Will and not a Sith or a Jedi or somebody who you know, is mainly one side of the Force but can feel the other one somewhat. But the fragment, the dark side and the light, is unnecessary unless there are different kinds of awakenings. Because when you say there has been an awakening, if it's only one side of the Force, you know, why say both?
Yeah.
So it details more specifically what can be felt, and that both sides are felt in the awakening, which could mean that this could become a unified Force, which would definitely make sense with the concept of the Wills as per the George Lucas interview.
You know, I worry about that because as a huge Legends fan, the whole concept that there was no dark side, that intent and all that kind of stuff was a fun little ride that Legends really played with, that the films really stayed clear of as much as possible. It was like, no, there's a distinct dark side. There's a distinct light side. And even though the New Jedi Order gave us this whole there was no dark side, in the end, they did come back to it. You know, they were like, no, there is a dark side. Yeah, intent doesn't matter to a degree, but at the end of the day, the dark side is a corruption. And if you dabble in it, it will, as Yoda say, you know, eventually turn you. So to have a unified Force, like, there's a part of me that's excited to see that, but then there's that element of me that there was the movie-only fans that really didn't like that concept. And so it's like, I don't know how a lot of fandom would accept an idea that the dark side and the light side could be used equally, which is what I always think of when I hear of the unifying Force in a lot of ways. You know, they introduced the aspect of the cosmic Force and stuff in the Clone Wars. So there are all these aspects of the Force philosophy that I would just love for them to dwell into a little, but just like not give us too many details on. You know, just like in episode 1 when Yoda, they talk about Yoda and the unifying Force and the living Force and being mindful of the present and stuff like that. It wasn't much said, but they dropped little things. I mean, they actually said the living Force, and I remember fandom going nuts, especially the EU fans. They're like, oh my gosh, the living Force, oh, the unifying Force is going to show up next. So to see them kind of do something like that, I'm tickled, but at the same time, I'm like, well, where would they go? Because canon is not at all limited to what Legends limited themselves to, and they could really take a lot of concepts that Legends was fleshing out and run with it in a multitude of ways.
Yeah,
but again, if we go back to the title, The Force Awakens, you know, it's not the light side has awakened or the dark side has awakened. It's not separate. It is unified. Yeah. I think perhaps maybe in the new films, the dark side is not like an entirely separate side of the Force, but it's what happens when you use the Force selfishly, when you use the Force with bad intentions. The dark side or use of the Force can corrupt you in a way similar to the saying that power can corrupt. That doesn't mean that power is evil necessarily, but it kind of depends on who uses it and how they choose to use it.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's a good point. I like the perspective as to the possibility of there being a new-ish interpretation. Maybe not a new interpretation, but a fresh interpretation of the Force and what it's like. That would be cool, for sure. So I'll tell you what. Will the Wills be will their way into episode 7? Who knows?
Whether the wills will or whether the wills won't. We'll be there, whatever the weather, whether we're willing or not.
Joseph does go on to point out that, you know, The Phantom Menace did have its a whole series of teaser trailers with dialogue that was never in the movie at all.
That's true.
So,
And that's where I was kind of thinking of, too. It's like, this could just 100% be aimed at us, the viewers, to kind of bring us to that point. You know, because I have a feeling they're going to hold back on a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, we're so far in the future that, aside from a couple comics that we may get right before the episode kicks off, I think we're going to have very little lead up to it. And I think that this is the one way that they can kind of get us to start wrapping our heads around things. And that awakening, I mean, look at how many different angles we're thinking of just it from the trailer alone. I mean, what if that was all it was intended to do, was to get us to think outside the box?
Amen. Amen.
Or what if the narrator just has no clue what he's talking about?
It's a possibility.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Let's continue on with the podcast episode. Let's touch on it. We won't dwell on it too long, but it is amusing. In the realm of YouTube, turns out there's some less than sensitive.
And Twitter and Instagram,
understanding. Mostly YouTube, though. Let's be honest. Mostly YouTube. less than complimentary reaction to this gentleman being in the movie. Specifically, we're talking about John Boyega. There's a black stormtrooper. Everybody stop. Stop the presses.
Oh, YouTube, you're a hive of wretched
scum. Have these people not seen Rebels with Care? Or no, Zare. Excuse me, Zare. Yeah. Care Bear Zare. I like that.
Probably well, no, probably not.
No, probably not.
And B, it's funny, this is bad on two. A, first it's obvious. It's kind of racist, and it's not kind of
kind
it's
of.
Racist and well, unacceptable. But also amusing the fact that they think stormtroopers are still clones. People are still running around thinking that stormtroopers are clones.
Why?
Well, that you could possibly get away with. But, I want to point something out right away, though. We don't even know if John is a stormtrooper. For all we know, he's pulling a Luke and Han in the Death Star and is just wearing it. We've had people point out that one stormtrooper in that battleship looked a little shorter than the rest. That could have been John.
But what
I mean, what better way to hide yourself if you're a black man walking around in a white stormtrooper area than to put that helmet on and leave it on? I mean, so there is that aspect of it.
There are all kinds of
100% no.
But
I don't have a problem if it is black stormtroopers
under
there, because I am one of those that I like the idea of having clone stormtroopers around. Granted, I don't expect any of them to be the Jango Fett clones anymore.
Yeah,
I would think that there would be a surplus to a degree of some clones being used. But there's got to be this conscripted people as well. So there's so many different angles. I mean, just seeing John in armor, I mean, and with him having that look of holy crap, I mean, there's all these angles that it could be.
Yes.
That I think most of Phantom is just really jumping all over it and running with their concerns and their own prejudices.
Well, and as at Ian McIntosh on Twitter stated, black stormtrooper criticism? They'll accept an alien-filled galaxy powered by the Force, but they're not having a black man in uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Wow.
Another fun fact, though, I have to point, Mark, we didn't get any emails about it or anything, but you know, we have all these brand new actors and actresses, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, that we really have to get used to all these new names and stuff that are in the creative world. And you were so excited at the beginning of our last episode, you had a little bit of a flip, of a mess up. And just for the glory of the entire audience, everyone check this out real quick.
And John Boyega pops up.
I love the what's funny is every other time you said it perfectly right, John Boyega, of course. But of course, as I was editing the episode, I had to pause it for a second and just respect you for rolling with it. Like, because some people say, sorry, take two. See, this is what happens in podcasting. It's like, sorry, I messed up. Take two. We got to do that again. We got to let me say that sentence again. Let me try that again. As if like you're recording your first musical album, not a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But John Boyega is probably going to, is the little brother who will be a extra in the film. That's right.
Oh, yes. I got to admit, though, seeing him pop up made me the most relieved, though, because there were so many really good fan trailers out there that I thought that first 5 seconds that's what it was. And then when he popped up, I was like, oh, thank goodness. And there have been even more fan trailers that mock it. You know, the George Lucas special edition, the Disney versions, the J.J. Abrams lens flare edition. Yeah. I mean, it's gotten so bad that – and bad in a good way – that when you try to find the trailer, you actually have to do some hunting now if you're not going straight to StarWars.com.
Yeah. You'll find the Lego trailer. You'll find the lens flare trailer.
I did like the Wes Anderson
trailer that's floating around now. So yeah, it's kind of become its own cultural thing now. Which, you know, speaking of the trailer, so let's pull this up. This is from Zephyr.com, and this is a
Zephyr.
Yeah, they follow basically YouTube marketing, but they're following this whole phenomenon of this trailer and the people filming their reactions to the trailer, which I was going to play because it's a great video of literally 30 people who all watch the trailer, and you follow all their reactions at the same time, and all of the audio is turned on. So it's like hearing a crowd of people, and by people, I mean like overly dramatic YouTubers, watch this trailer.
Oh, come on. You were overly dramatic when you first saw it, I'm sure.
I may or may not.
Stuart told us.
But I didn't film it and put it on YouTube. At least I didn't do that.
That's because you were too busy watching it.
And for other reasons. Anyway, but no, so the Star Wars trailer is the fastest growing trailer in YouTube's history. And in fact, is now the most viewed trailer on YouTube.
Hoo-wee.
Ever. It's already crossed 63 million views. More views on this trailer than the Avengers 2 trailer. Than the new Jurassic Park trailer.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. And, but no, this is a genuine phenomenon. Because it's kind of, there's a mental combat. Take two. Let me edit that out and re-say it. Okay, here we go. There's a mental combat between the two films, Avengers 2 and Star Wars, because I'm curious to see which one makes more money, because the cultural interest part of Riley is interested to see which one resonates with the current generation. And there's a large part of me that thinks this Avengers 2 movie is going to make more money than Star Wars Episode 7. Mark Newbold, not so much. He was on the podcast last week, and we did a series of bets. In fact, Bethany, I'm going to pull out the cards right here.
Yeah, I'm like I'm in like 185 to him, I think.
And so in the cards, like, I predict a super force power for Luke in the movie, right? Like a Force Unleashed style power. We'll see that.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Aaron Goins is that it's going to be his favorite Star Wars film. And next card, Mark Hurlman. Mark Hurlman, yours is a little bit more tame, but you're going for like the end space battle. You're predicting the space battle at the end for like an echo of A New Hope is how we're going to end it. Which I
was hoping to pull a Glosson and be like 7, 8, 9. See, I called it.
Yeah, exactly. And then Newbold, as I was saying, which I think this trailer's indicating in his favor, 2.1 billion at the box office, aka. The number two box office film of all time is what he's predicting. More than Avatar, which is the current record holder. So if that's the case, certainly it'll be bigger than Avengers. And if YouTube trailer views are any indication of our culture's excitement for the Star Wars movie,
mm-hmm.
It's in that track. That's a lot of millions of views. I pulled that story just because I think it's a fun indicator of kind of where we are. And in the chat, Daniel in India was saying basically all we have to do is say, 10, 11, 12.
Drop the mic, won't play.
Herbert Burr. All right, well let's delay no further and jump to a little bit of feedback. Feedback is brought to you by StarWarsReport.com/episodes. It's our episode guides, and that's where you can click on all of our shows. We have these single pages that list all of our podcast episodes because we usually only keep about 50 or so, however many the RSS feed fits on iTunes. So if you're like, well, gosh darn it, I just discovered this Star Wars show after watching Fargo, and gosh darn it, if I didn't run out of episodes, I heard there more. That's where you want to go, StarWarsReport.com/episodes. And if you wanted to specifically hit our show, it's StarWarsReport.com/episodes. SWR episodes, and that's where you can hear all 155 episodes of the Star Wars Report podcast. Let's jump straight into some feedback. The first thing I need to do is I actually have to queue it up, so hopefully this won't take too long, but this is a message from our good buddy Bruce, who was sitting next to me as we watched the Star Wars trailer. Let's hear this message from Bruce.
You wiped your tears of joy.
That's exactly what he did. From Bruce Gibson. Here we go.
Hey, Star Wars Report. This is Bruce Gibson. And I thought I'd leave my first voicemail for you guys and just say how excited I am that I've seen the trailer. And Riley, thanks for allowing me to join you and your crew of friends there and your sister, not Bethany, but your other sister, to go see the trailer today at the theater. Seeing it on the big screen was really awesome. And then to hear the audience applaud. Even after the trailer, I don't think anybody left the theater. So even those who came to the theater to see it didn't leave. So anyway, thanks again for that. And just wanted to say the soccer ball droid is really cool. I think it's great to see the little cute stuff still continuing in Star Wars. And my only concern is the texture of the look of the X-Wing pilot. That shot, compared to other shots of X-Wing pilots, looks a little different, the texture of the film. So I want to make sure that, you know, the consistency is there. But no original cast, but that's cool with me. You know, seeing Daisy and John, that just shows they're the lead characters, and I think that's awesome. Anyway, thanks again, and I hope you mention on the show what you said at the end of the trailer out loud to the whole theater. See ya. Bye.
What did you say?
That's funny. Yeah, and I actually mentioned it in the last show, but basically the trailer cuts the, you know, it's the Millennium Falcon goes whoosh and does the big IMAX sequence, and it's like ba da 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 bam, and then it's like psh, and the crowd erupts into thunderous applause. And Padme said, "So this is how the next Star Wars movie is introduced, with thunderous applause." And then, yes, and then I said, I literally leaned back to the whole theater because we're sitting down kind of towards the front. And I was like, "All right, we can all leave now." and that got a laugh.
That's
fun. I'm usually not that guy who's like trying to get a rise or laugh out of strangers.
No, surprisingly, I tend to do that more than Riley.
Yeah, well, and or like that might be a Glosson move, right? I could see him, Steve, doing that. But
Steve did not get up at Celebration and run in front of the whole crowd and get them to start chanting. So
yeah, well, it's funny. Bruce just joined us in the live chat too.
Oh,
so
okay,
that's cool.
Well, hey, Bruce, I wanted to address your concern about the film quality, not necessarily quality, but the difference between the film texture and many, many trailers and especially teasers these days are not fully finished materials. Like, and Peter Jackson is really the most famous for this, where he's editing the movie right up until into the day before it gets into the theaters, and even continues to edit the movie before it's even put on DVD and Blu-ray. So we will probably not notice anything like that during the movie itself. I seriously, seriously doubt that. So
yeah, no, but it was a good it's a good point and a great experience. Like again, just seeing it in the theater, just an absolute blast.
Yeah.
Because you know, it only happens once. So you're gonna enjoy it when we go see The Hobbit. It's gonna be a different experience seeing that sucker up on the big screen. But
I did want to mention another piece of news that plays into the trailer. So I'll just mention it real quick here. Which is, according to IO9, a Disney rep did confirm that the sound at the end of the teaser trailer is that of Luke Skywalker's first lightsaber, a.k.a. the lightsaber that used to belong to Anakin and was lost, along with Luke's hand, in The Empire Strikes Back. And apparently there was a rumor that the discovery of this particular lightsaber is what kickstarts the action in The Force Awakens. So,
And I don't know, you know, I think it's fan made, but I saw this really cool picture of a lightsaber encrusted in rust with a bone hand holding it, and it looked like a movie prop. Like it looked really cool, and I was just like, man, okay, if that is in the movie, I think I might just be a little tickled. Like I don't know. There's that aspect, you know, Legends, that hand was taken and they created the clone of Luke Skywalker that Mara ended up killing later, but that has always had me tickled as to, you know, what happened to that hand. did they get a hold of it and take it to a cloner? Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, we'll see. We shall see. Speaking of feedback, this comes from Steven. He sent us a picture. He said, similar looking, aren't they? Could just be a coincidence. Or maybe Oscar Isaac is Zev Seneca's son. So they point out just how similar Zev Seneca, basically from The Empire Strikes Back, the guy who's shot down in his snow speeder.
And that's not the only person that's come to that correlation. A few people have. And while looking at the pictures, I can see it. But at the same time, I kind of think if you throw any two light-nosed, tight-lipped individuals into those type of helmets, you may have a similarity. I'm really hoping that it's a Gavin Darklighter because, like, okay, if Jaina Solo's tossed out, let's keep Gavin canon.
Well, what's interesting, let's point out the fact, as I mentioned in last week's show, I think it was the IO9 breakdown that pointed out on the cheek guard of Oscar Isaac's helmet / protector. What would you call that? It's not, I guess it's a kind of a helmet. Flight helmet is what we'll call it, is a logo that's the exact same as one that's on the surface on the forehead of Biggs Darklighter's helmet in A New Hope. So I think, Mark, your theory, or at least what you're hoping might be the case, if it's, I mean, he might be some kind of Darklighter descendant, which I think would be kind of cool. Even if it's just all they do is say, hey, this is Joe Darklighter, and they'd never say anything else other than the fact of his last name. That would be kind of cool, if you ask me. So, but yeah, that would be for interesting for sure. Another email. This comes from Valerie from Madison, Wisconsin. Valerie says, "Hi guys, really enjoyed the in-depth discussion you had about the teaser trailer. Rather than just seeing how cool the visual was and this and that visual was, you really got into the minutia of the trailer. I greatly enjoy the speculation about who the characters are and what their motives might be. As much as I enjoy the visuals, I kept thinking while watching the teaser on repeat, what is the story here and how is this going to play out years from now? Thank you so much for being entertaining and informative 2 hours. First generation fan for the record." Well,
you know,
Valerie,
what? You know,
I just wanted to thank you.
Nice. Yeah, I'm actually also really glad that she said that, because I already saw somebody online complaining about a different podcast who's teaser discussion lasted a whole hour and how long that was, and I was like,
just don't link them.
Yeah, because we have now, this will be the second episode that's almost entirely about the teaser trailer
podcast,
and the first one was like 2 hours, right?
Yeah, we'll have podcasted for basically 3 hours about this trailer. We were live on the air for about 3 hours that Friday.
That was a long day.
It ended up
I want to answer a couple of these. You know, what is the story here? I don't think that teaser trailer can give us any form of answer to there. And I go back to that episode one teaser trailer, which is where I'm going to answer the other part about that. You know, how is this going to play out a year from now? Same as that other one. I think right now it's a success, but I think once the films come out, you'll look back at that trailer going, yeah, it was okay. Because when I remember with episode one, that teaser trailer had me just doing flips in my mind. And when the film came out, the film was good and I liked it. But I still felt like that teaser trailer had teased me to the point where I was expecting so much more from the movie that now when I go into these teaser trailers, I remember that, because I felt like that tainted a lot of ways the experience, because it wasn't as good as I was hoping it was going to be.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that letdown that you get only after seeing the film. And I think that the same thing is going to happen, because you can't tell the story in a teaser. I mean, if you do, you're going to get flack for that. And so I think that's just going to be the story of fandom here, that these teasers are all going to come out. They're going to do their job. But once the film has come out, they're not going to be as cool. Once you have the information, they'll just be kind of like, okay, well, there was that.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the nature of it, where you see a teaser and you really don't know what to think. And a lot of our speculation, whether it's the Wills or whether it's Darklight, is he a Darklighter or is Luke Skywalker the bad guy? I've heard people suggest that Luke Skywalker's the guy who ignites the weird lightsaber. You know, all kinds of theories that go hither and thither.
That one I don't really give much credit to. I'll just slide
in. I don't think
that,
Mark Hamill's bouncing around quite that much.
Yeah.
If he is, I'm impressed. We'll put it that way. But yeah, no. Thanks for the email, Valerie. Let's jump to our... let's jump to our next email. This is from Jimmy, and this is an older email that I wanted to jump to, just kind of reference real quick where we're heading from here. Basically he says, hey Riley and Bethany, thanks for taking the time to email me back to answer the question about when watching Revenge of the Sith with yours and Steve's commentary. It made me feel I was right there with you guys. Really looking forward to the A New Hope commentary and really appreciate you guys doing your podcast. I will see all of you at Celebration Anaheim. And that was that's a little excerpt from an email chain that we were talking not too long ago with Jimmy about the commentary. The commentary that never was because of school. We got to get to this A New Hope deal.
We got to get to it before episode 7 actually comes out.
Well, no, my thing is a commentary a year is like my goal. And we started in May 1 year doing Attack of the Clones, and then Revenge of the Sith kind of waited all the way until August or September. And now we're smack dab in the middle of the holiday season. The question is, do we follow Riley's OCD tendencies and try to knock out an A New Hope commentary sometime during the holiday break? What do you think, Bethany?
I think yes.
Okay. Mark, you in?
Sounds like a plan. As long as we're still able to do that second Airborne New Year thing.
Yeah, no, we got to plan our holiday show too. A lot of unrest, as Steve would say, going on, or at least a lot of
Bossons getting ready to be sent out into the field.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So let's get ready and jump to, well, I guess that's about it for the show. Anything else you want to mention, Mark or Bethany, before we get ready to bug out for the evening?
Nope.
Well, okay, Bethany had just made a comment about Luke going dark side as one of those rumors, and a thought came to me, you know, when Yoda's talking to Luke on Dagobah. One of the things he says, you know, once you start down the dark path, forever will it, you know, control you, dominate you, you know. When we get to Return of the Jedi and Vader is messing with Luke, talking about, you know, your sister, if you won't turn to the dark side, maybe she will. And Luke screams out, never, and comes lashing out at him. In the book, even, it talks about how Luke in that moment touched the dark side. And I always like thought that was an interesting aspect, you know, and even when Luke was on the cave in Dagobah, he took the weapon in when Yoda told him not to and stuff. There was like this aspect of Luke that seemed to make some certain dark choices that I always thought I'd be curious if that phrase of Yoda's, you know, once you start down that dark path forever, it'll, you know, dominate you. If something like that were to actually come true, would that be, you know, there's that aspect of, well, if Luke goes bad, well, everything he's done, it's thrown out. But there's that line. It's like, well, if he did go dark, I guess that would be staying true to that line and to Yoda's, you know, don't mess with the dark side because it'll eventually corrupt you. And to see that play out, it would be an interesting twist of events. I think it'd be kind of crazy to think that, you know, Luke having a moment of doubt or a moment of fear and then him using the Force, eventually it corrupts him to a point where, you know, he becomes a full-on villain. I think that would be a very interesting twist that, you know, yeah, we've seen Legends mess with that to some degrees, but never anything like that in canon. There'd be a cool twist that, while on one hand I could see a lot of people being angry, if done right, I think it could be a very interesting sequel trilogy.
You know, once you go down that dark path forever, will it dominate your destiny? That is, because in some ways it could be seen as a little bit of a throwaway line in that, oh, it's Yoda warning Luke. But like, if that was used as the linchpin of the new film and say Luke does go to the dark side or something like that, and he's gone in hiding because he's afraid to use his Force powers for fear of awakening the dark side or something like that, any number of variations of that theory, I would not be opposed to that at all. I think that would be a fascinating aspect to the story.
Well, Luke just killed Emperor Palpatine. The Empire has Inquisitors, has these whole divisions of people that seek out Force users and stuff like that. What better to do? You just had the Rebellion take out your master, your leader. Sick them all on Luke Skywalker. I mean, dude, go into hiding, homie.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's true. And Yoda does not say, you know, once you start down that dark path, there's no redemption, or you can never ever get back.
That's what Luke proved.
But it will dominate your destiny in the sense that once Anakin started down that path, it was an extremely destructive path that he, I mean, even if he had survived, it would have taken a long time to get over, if you can even get over something like what Anakin as Darth Vader experienced.
Yeah.
And committed.
Absolutely. That's an interesting theory, Mark, and I think it may not be too far off of what we actually see in the final film. We will just have to wait and see. That's going to put the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Episode 155 is in the can. One additional solid hour on the old Force Awakens trailer. Good times were had by all. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. We do appreciate each and every one of you who have chosen to make us a part of your week. We hope everyone's enjoying their holiday season as well. Before we jump out, just want to give you guys a couple of administrative notes. Be sure that you are following us up on our social media. It's facebook.com/StarWarsReport, twitter.com/StarWarsReport. Join 10,000 plus people on our Twitter. If 10,000 people join us on the old Star Wars Report Twitter, you know you can't go wrong there. Or you could, but you would just be with a lot of other wrong people. Also, be sure that if you've enjoyed this podcast, if it has brought you any entertainment, joy, value, perplexion, inspiration, education, or even some small measure of hope in humanity, please consider, search your heart, search your feelings. You know it to be true that you should leave us an iTunes review. Head over to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. That's your ticket straight to the iTunes store and our page. That's where you can leave us an iTunes review. We do appreciate each and every one of those. Also, if you want to leave us a voicemail, your thoughts on the teaser trailer as we continue this discussion, make sure that you give us a call. It's 858-859-0SWR. Just leave yourself a message right there, and we will play it as part of this very podcast. Also, make sure that you're following Bethany and myself on social media. It's at The Riley Guy for me, at Bethany L. Blanton for Bethany. And Mark is also on social media. It's at Illogical Rogue 2. That's for our Twitters. Bethany and I also have the same username for our Instagram accounts. It's that time of year. We're going to be having a holiday episode coming up very soon, and hopefully commentary coming up really soon. We have to work out all those plans. But in the meantime, keep it tuned right here at the Star Wars Report podcast. There's never been a better time to be a Star Wars fan. And remember, for the love of all those hairy beasts, they stole the data plans to the first Death Star, and many of them died doing it. Them Bothans. Many of them died to bring you this podcast.